Hard reboot. I'm Jake.
I'm Alan.
And I'm Matt. And I remember.
I didn't. I was like, hey, anyway. Hi, everybody.
And this is the second one we're recording today. We just finished recording MDG2. That went pretty well. Pretty excited about that. Now we're talking about my sequel, Dracula 2, Drac in the Habit. It's not called that. It's not going to be called that.
Oh, but that was so good.
It was a good look. It was a good joke. Mm-hmm. It still is a good joke. It was also another good thing about that last when we did Dracula is it was before the sign off had existed. So that I think it was the first instance of the sign off that we all know and love. And you don't need to say right now, Alan, because we're not leaving. And if you say I'm turning the recording off.
Yeah, because if I say it, then I have to push stop. And yeah, then this is going to be a 3-minute long episode where we talk about thirst traps.
You talk about, I just talk about how TikTok has me dead to rights. And so we're doing a sequel to Dracula Knox, which is the coming of age Dracula movie that we did in apparently 2017.
If it had released on time when we intended it, if we did not live in the year of our Lord 2020 still, it would have been almost 4 years to the day when it released.
Wowzers, Bowsers. Doing this show for a grip, huh?
Yup.
This is episode 52, which technically means you could listen to one every week. You could pretend this is weekly. It would take you a year to catch up.
Mm-hmm. I don't recommend doing that. We don't know what we're doing in the first little bit.
Nope.
No.
So, speaking of not knowing what we're going to do, I don't know what we're going to do. Jake, what direction do you want to take Dracula for the sequel?
You know, what's funny about that, Alan, it's funny you ask, is because originally I was going to say we do Frankenstein.
Okay, so kind of go into Universal Monsters a little bit.
Okay, interesting, but it sounds like you have changed your mind on that.
I have a little bit, and I don't know if I have changed my mind or not, actually. I honestly don't have a lot of plans for this. I think this one, it's going to get wet and wild. I don't have a plan. Because originally, when I thought of the idea for working title Dracula Zero back in, you know, however long ago that was.
Back in the before times.
In the long, long ago. Like, I feel like I had came up with this thought when I worked at, like, Walmart, which was a very long time ago.
Yeah.
That was almost a Gregorian decade ago at this point. But I had the idea that it would be like, here's our Dracula movie, like, coming of age origin Dracula movie. And then we would do Frankenstein Zero, and then Wolfman Zero, and then Mummy Zero, and then Can't Do Creature from the Black Lagoon Zero, or Gilman Zero, because that's not public domain. That was made by Universal because they wanted a wet monster, I guess. Invisible Man was one that is in the public domain. It would be like that, right? Mm-hmm. But then we did Dracula Knox, and I feel like it sets up like a world that we could do that in, but like featuring them, you know. But also, I don't know, maybe we just do a different Dracula story.
Okay, so do you have any ideas for that Dracula story?
Okay, none.
So we want to do another Dracula story in that world. Let me pull up Discord real fast, because Edge of My Pete ask some questions.
On the Discord, I said we're recording two episodes on Saturday. If anyone has anything we want to talk about or questions or anything, hit them now, and I'm going to try to do that going forward, just so, like, if you're on our Discord, which there is a link at least on our Twitter, you can find it.
Yeah, it's pinned
and it's public. If you're a patron, you get like an extra channel,
but it's not public domain.
Ba-dum-bum-ba-dum-bum. All right, see you later, everybody.
Oh, so I need to do the thing. Okay.
Yep. You don't need to do it now. We can all go to heaven. So, right. you're gonna read some. You're gonna read some Pete's thoughts.
So Pete has four questions about Dracula Knox. The first one, and we might just use these as a nice little guide for ourselves,
just like a launching point. Yeah, because like, you know, we're gonna be a lot of like filling the space out, figuring out what we're doing.
So first one, is the sequel still going to take place during Christmas?
We did mention that it would be a Christmas, because the first one took place on
Halloween
in a world where Dracula and vampire mythology had not permeated the public consciousness, which is weird to think about, right? I feel like we would still get a Dracula, a vampire thing, because like there's like the Chinese vampire, the Zhang Shi.
Renshi.
So like vampire myths exist all over the place.
They just wouldn't have the popularity.
Maybe they still would. Maybe there would be an incredibly popular series of Chinese vampire myths that like got adopted over here.
So that, Twilight, like, but energy vampires.
Yeah, you know, like something, you know, because like I feel like this, like the hole that's there would get filled. But I think last time we talked about like Frankenstein would be more. But now I'm kind of thinking like, if the universal monsters don't exist, so we can still play with them in this universe, like it would just be, it would be weird, right?
It could be like Fae. Like Fae could play a much bigger role, like fairy, F-A-E-R-I-E, like Celtic,
yeah, or like because like you know, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Like maybe instead of writing that to like win a bet in a night. Can't imagine writing one of the first sci-fi books ever on a dare to like shut a dude up. Good job, Mary. But like maybe that's just like that she wrote something else. Mm-hmm. she wrote about something different that day, you know. It would just be very weird, but I feel like that's a thing we don't really need to worry about in terms of like the storytelling and figuring out,
but Christmas.
I mean, yeah, I feel like that would be good, right? Like,
all right, so same town, same core group of characters, just at Christmas now?
A
couple years on?
Yeah, a couple years later, Luke is a recovering vampire, I think.
Okay.
Mina and April are still hunting stuff. I feel like we figuring out what they've been doing in the meantime is something we can dip into in a minute.
Yeah. All right. So next question. If so, is Dracula or some progeny of theirs the actual cause behind the war on Christmas? making the holiday less associated with holy symbology.
I just don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. Yeah.
No, it's a bad, dumb lie that Republicans tell. Fuck them.
All right. Here's the thing. That's a good joke.
It is a good joke.
It's a good joke, but like,
there is no war on Christmas. Everyone fucking loves Christmas.
They're looking for something to feel persecuted about.
Like, yeah, yep. Like it's just white people needing to feel like they are being oppressed somehow.
Being angry.
That has literally never happened even once.
Yep.
So I don't think that because Dracula's not. He's not like a very public facing character, so I don't know how he would perpetuate this in any way. And also, I honestly just don't think there's much to say about it beyond like it's not real.
No.
You know, like
but good joke. Okay.
Solid joke.
So that actually leads me to a question. You mentioned it offhandedly. You said a recovering vampire.
Yeah, because Lucy gets turned into a vampire, right? And Luke is Lucy. And so,
but how does one recover from being a vampire? Do we have is there a state in which they can de-vampire? Are they dealing with being a vampire? Like what?
I don't know. That,
what you just said opened a lot of doors in my brain, and I'm curious what you meant.
I think it's kind of. All of the above, right? Like, I think maybe there is a way to unvampire, but I think like if you can't, you like, and you are now a vampire, you need to find a way to like, and you, but you don't want to like kill people. You got to find a place to get blood. You got to either like disappear or find ways to explain to your friends and family why you can no longer be seen during the daytime, or why a bunch of wolves and shit are drawn to you now.
So that leads me to another question. If someone can be devamped, that means they weren't dead. because if to me, devamp means they would just be a corpse. Because part of being a vampire is dying and rising again.
Right.
You're right, but also...
Unless we treat vampirism more like a disease than anything else.
I feel like if we do that, we fully put ourselves in the everything magic is science group. And I don't know if I want to do that, because, like, he does turn into a wolf. Dracula did turn into a flock of bats, and I can't explain
and
that.
And a vapor.
And mist and stuff. But I do feel like there is that sort of, like proto, like, not steampunk, but, like, turn of the century, like, alchemy science, like,
yes, apothecary alchemy,
natural philosophy,
like that kind of stuff that, like, is very inherent in a lot of the like the Universal Monsters origins, right? Like,
yeah,
like Dracula a little bit, but like Frankenstein certainly, and Wolfman, like, it feels like it is sort of like that, because, like, there are, like, preventative measures that, like, sort of make sense a little scientifically if you accept the rules of the magic, right? Like, silver is repellent. Why? Because it just is. It works.
So, essentially, then, we're talking about there could be an alchemical cure for vampirism.
What if that is at least the inciting incident of the movie? Is them trying to find a cure for Luke?
For Lucy? Luke, yeah,
for Luke, because we swapped right. Lucy and Abraham for Luke and April.
So this actually opens an interesting door that Pete's questions get to. The third one is Universal Monsters? Question mark.
I very much want to turn it into a thing. And this, look, I'm this close to replacing fucking Greek mythology once we're done with it with this, and, like, I don't know how much I want to blow the load on it now.
Hey, I just had that same thought about dropping mine for more Most Dangerous Game, so I feel you. The fourth question, though, is Pete says, I have difficulty imagining where a story like this can go while still being just about OG Drac. Unless, how open are y'all to the idea of a Dracula multiverse?
I think multiverses are super hot right now, right? Everyone wants to do a fucking multiverse.
That multiverse is so hot right now.
So if you take a shit wrap in tinfoil and sell it to you. I don't know how.
That's the sentence you just said.
It's from Zoolander.
Yeah.
Wow, have I just removed that from my brain?
Well, that's appropriate. That's correct.
He's talking about how hot Hansel is right now. And he's like, he's so hot he could take a shit, wrap it in tinfoil, put fish hooks in it, and sell it to you as earrings. That's from the movie.
I know it is. Like, now that you've said that, I am 100% with you. But it, for a moment, I was just like, what? Okay, continue.
So I think Dracula Multiverse is... I don't want to say it's a non-starter, but I do think that it, I don't think it fits, you know? Like, it's one thing for Marvel to go, all right, shit, we've done so many of these movies. Now we got to start doing, like, the weird stuff. And everyone loved Spider-Verse more than any other Spider-Man movie. So, like, what if maybe that's what people like? And the answer is not exactly. people like a nice self-contained story with good characters. It's fun to look at. And most Marvel movies are
not
very
that.
Few of those things. So I don't know. I don't know if it works, but I do think that this does give me an idea, and that is that Luke might technically now be the most powerful vampire.
Are we leaving Drac dead for this movie?
I think we mentioned in the other one that they don't kill him properly because they are teenagers who don't want to decapitate a man.
Right.
So maybe we can bring Dracula back. Maybe we can do some sort of Son of Dracula thing, like the blood of Dracula that is in Luke is threatening to, like, take over.
Okay.
You know, something like that. And that's why they're trying to find a cure. I don't know. I don't know. What do y'all think?
I like that a lot.
So, if Dracula is dead, based on the rules set forth in Bram Stoker's Dracula, Luke would no longer be a vampire.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah, well, yeah, because well, because that that's because like when you kill
you
Dracula,
kill the all sire, the,
all the yeah,
you free the thrall.
Okay, but if Dracula isn't,
but Dracula's dead, not dead, dead.
Yeah, they didn't do it right.
Because they got most of the way there, right? They and buried they him face down at the crossroads with a stake. That's also true. Yeah, they wouldn't know.
They wouldn't know that Luke should be free if Dracula was dead. They would have absolutely no context for that.
Yeah. Also, like, I feel like they're like a I don't know. This is probably in a lot of vampire mythology, and that is like the more powerful the sire, the stronger the sired
the progeny,
the offspring or whatever. So like I feel like Dracula, obviously most powerful vampire,
right?
So after him it would be like the brides, and then I'm assuming there's sort of like some sort of generation law. Ooh, what if vampires are coming to town now to try to like find the bones of Dracula?
Okay,
what if vampires are invading this town around Christmas to get Dracula so that they can, like, drink his blood and get more power or something.
So almost a little bit Queen of the Damned.
Yeah, let's pretend I've seen that movie since 1999.
It's also a book. So that's in news to that, me. In that...
Is Aaliyah in the book? Because if not, I'm not interested.
So Akasha kind of was the first vampire who was cursed. And if you drink from her... Basically, you become a super vampire who can, like, walk in the sun. Like, she's so powerful that sunlight doesn't touch her. Now, granted, obviously, that is a different mythos entirely, but I kind of do like the idea that older vampires can build up tolerances to things that younger vampires are immediately destroyed by. So, an older vampire will still be destroyed in sunlight, but they can be exposed to it for a small amount of time before they combust.
Right. Yeah. Because I think we talked about doing like pseudo Buffy rules with the sunlight, where like you can be in the sun, but you can't go into the sun. Like you can like dip in and out if you need to, but it will hurt like a sun bitch.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe there's some sort of like, and honestly, it does here. This it would be very funny if like. Because Lestat, the name Lestat, is like the vampire. That's public domain, right? That's got to be.
No, that's Anne Rice.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
All right, hold on. Everyone's Lestat favorite portion.
Lestat de Lion Court.
Lestat. If I could spell, that would be really cool. Lestat, public domain.
Introduced in 1976.
Ah, beans. Probably not then, huh?
Nope.
Dang. Okay. So what we do is the vampire's name is Lestable.
Lestable.
We either Google some public domain vampires or we just make one up, right? Sure. Because no rules, just right. We have a couple. I feel like this would be more of like a fun like sort of style thing rather than actual like plot, but we can figure that out in a minute.
Zora. Lord Ruthven, Vampire Master, Weird Sisters, Victor Vampire, Orlok.
Victor Vampire is absolutely a private detective from the like a pulp private detective from the 30s. I don't care what it says on what you're reading. That's what Victor Vampire is to me in my head.
Hey, I'm going to dib that and put that into our space pulp.
John Doe and his wife, Jane, were in a lifeboat after their cruise ship sank. They saw a man drowning and rescued him. The man's name was Lance Bloodman.
Oh, my God. It's not getting better.
Took shifts until they were rescued. Lance preferred the night shift. Unbeknownst to John and Jane, Lance was a vampire. John awoke one night while Lance was in the act of sucking John's blood. Lance made a pact that he would only drink blood from John, leaving Jane pure from violation from the vampire. When they were finally rescued, he expressed his intention to turn Lance into the police. Lance reminded John of the shame he would face if Jane knew and the police knew. John couldn't keep from feeding with Jane's blood. For her protection, John left. He preyed on the dregs of humanity.
Okay, Alan, hold on. Alan, whoa.
This is very much an LGBTQ shame parallel.
What is this from?
Yeah.
Horrific number 8, November 1953.
Cool. I'm dibbing that for our pulp thing. moving on.
Moving forward. So basically, so there's a lot of different types of vampires in mythology, right? You've got your sad Victorian boys from Anne Rice. You've right. got your sparkly boys from the Twilights. You've sure. got your Buffy victim vampires who are, I think, the best done in media. I think they're the cleanest. You got Lost Boys, who are very similar to Buffy ones, but I think they came out first.
Yes.
I'm sure there are other there's also like What We Do in the Shadows, which is like this is also sort of their thing, is like, here's a bunch of different types of vampires. Like, one character on that is literally an energy vampire. And every time I see a clip of him, I get mad because he's too well written. What if there are a bunch of different types of vampires coming into town to try to find the blood of Dracula?
Okay.
And so you think at first that means the body of Dracula, but what it means
is the child. Luke. Yeah.
Because Luke is the strongest heir, because he was the most recent. This is a fun thing about vampire mythology, is that if the stronger the vampire is when they sire you, the stronger you are, then like your sire lineage is kind of backwards, right? Because the most recent would be the most powerful, because that's when the sire vampire would be the most powerful, right? Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense to anybody? Did that sense yes. come out? Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's kind of fun. Anyway, so that maybe that's something we can play around with.
Okay, I dig that. All right. So let's lay out. Let's go with this whole, like, trying to find the blood of Dracula thing. Let's start laying out a plot for this. So a couple years later, April and Mina have been at college.
My brain just shut off. If we try, okay, we need to figure out a timeline, because if the first one takes place at Halloween and the second one takes place at Christmas, my like knee-jerk reaction is, oh, it's 2 months later.
I mean, we could do that.
Do we want to do it that quick, or do we want to give it some time?
Honestly, I like it being that quick, because that also, that gives enough time for Luke to be struggling with his vampirism and kind of realize something's wrong without settling into too much of a routine. It will still right. feel uncomfortable that Luke is a vampire.
Yeah, I think that's a good call.
Wouldn't have gotten mopey yet.
Yeah, because if it's been a year, like, he, like, dude lives in a crypt, he's very sad, there's, like,
yes.
you know, that's a different story that I think is, could be worth telling, but I think it's not the story that I would want to tell with the second movie, you know?
Right.
But yeah, so, like, 2 months, like, it's, because this way, he's, like, this has got to be bad, right? Because like 2 months is a long time to be like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. Like, I know I got vampired. I know what happened. We need to like fix this. And the other two being like, well, we're doing our best, but there's not a lot of research on the subject, because the only person who knew about vampires was my great grandpa, who died 40 years ago, mm-hmm. or, you know, 12 years ago or whenever. So 2 months, I think that's good. I think 2 months later is a nice little time skip, but also like, it's not so far in the future that like everything's different now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. So pick up where you were, Matt. Not that I remember where that was.
Okay. So 2 months later, we're still in their last year of high school then, which is fine.
Yeah.
Christmas break rolls around. Mina and April are going to spend the break trying to help Luke figure some stuff out. Like, it's basically going to be the setup to, like, the research moment of a Buffy episode.
I also like kind of treating that like, we're going to have a fun sleepover. Like, yeah. We're just going to hang out. Like, I know we're going to find some blood for you to drink. I don't know where we're going to get that. We are teenage girls, but we'll figure out where we can find human blood for you, you know. And we're just going to, like, you know, try to help you get through this because we're friends. Mm-hmm, I like that kind of setup premise. And then that gets complicated by a bunch of vampires coming to town now that it gets dark at 2:30 p.m. And
yeah, I think they encountered the new vampires trying to get blood, right? Like, because the first couple vampires are trying to keep a low profile and not, like, raise suspicion yet, right?
Right,
We're not going full 30 Days of Night yet.
Right, I said it kind of jokingly, but like, it's post daylight savings time. The longest, like the shortest day is December 21st. That could be sort of like the climax of like, about half of the day is going to be darkness. That's a lot of time to for them to get shit done to try for us to try to stop them from finding Dracula.
How do we feel about vampires being able to sense each other? Because part of this, part of it feels coincidental. Like if they meet each other going to get blood, it's just kind of happenstance. Can vampires, so do they hear that Dracula is dead? Do they sense that Dracula is dead? I'm leaning towards the sensing.
I think it might be like a little column A, little column B, maybe like all at once on Halloween, all the vampires started feeling kind of weird. And then, you know, a lot of them are like, hey, Dracula, I heard Dracula, some fucking kids killed Dracula up in New Hampshire or wherever. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we put this in Mass, it's somewhere in New England. That's something, huh? And then like, they're like, oh, Dracula's dead. Maybe that's also a thing. Maybe like the reason vampires have not like proliferated the world is because Dracula, because he has psychic powers, right? And so like, you know, the thrall hypnotism powers, the hypnotism, all that. Like maybe he just has been like broadcasting this like everyone be cool wave to all the vampires, especially if he's like the first vampire. And then now that he's dead, and he's not dead, but he is like for
he's all intents and purposes,
he is out of the picture. Yeah. Then like they're like, oh shit.
They're off the leash.
Yeah, we're off. Let's, you know, and so the first thing, like, and maybe I don't want to do this, but the like TV show spinoff setup is like everywhere has vampires that are now getting uppity. So that can be a thing. But very specifically, there are a couple groups of vampires who are like, shit, Dracula's dead. I'm going to go get his blood. I'm going to be the new Dracula, you know?
I like that what we could do to set that up fairly easily is in one of the opening scenes, have a news report in the background be like, there has been an uptick in unexplained murders of people being found
exsanguinated.
Exsanguinated.
Or people have gone missing out in this area, like the numbers have jumped.
Right.
I think that would be very funny, but it would have to be like, I would want it to be somewhere else, maybe.
It's away, but.
Yeah, but like, because I do really like the idea of them just bumping into them trying to get blood at like the butcher shop, because like they're coming to town to find Dracula. They're going to be like, especially like the I know we can't use Lestat, but like the sad fancy Victorian boy vampires are clearly like the smartest ones who are like, if we keep a low profile, we can just go find the body, drink the blood, become the Dracula. Right. Yeah. And then, oh shit, we bumped into the only vampire hunter on the planet. Fuck. Like,
yeah, that is kind of good.
Like, I just think that's like it is a coincidence, but like the Pixar rule of coincidences that get you into trouble are fine. Coincidences that get you out of trouble are not. And this would definitely get everybody involved into trouble. And I think that would be very funny. But I do also like the kind of campy idea of like, in whatever county, there's been an uptick in missing persons. If you have any, you know, thing on these, and then like later we can show them as like new vampires that like one of the groups got, you know.
Yeah, we need to have like the hikers went missing in the forest, look out for these people, and they come in later as just wild villains. Here's my other thought. Are we going to have a, and I say this advisedly, good vampire who's just trying to like reassert the everybody chill the fuck out thing?
I definitely would like that. Because I want as many different disparate groups of types of vampires, and the angel archetype of the one good vampire who like doesn't want to drink blood because he's so sad about it or whatever.
So here's my pitch for the good vampire.
Okay.
This is going to be weird, but I like it.
Hit me.
We didn't get the Bram Stoker book, right? Like, we had a Van Helsing who had notes on stuff, but died. But we never got the Bram Stoker book because those events didn't fully pan out. So no one was around to tell Bram Stoker about it.
Right. Right? Yes.
So the good vampire is Jonathan Harker, who got taken when he went to Transylvania.
Oh, I kind of like that.
Okay.
So he is Dracula's oldest living child now. And it's just like, the fuck did you do?
And then like he's meeting his new like technical little brother who is Luke.
Yeah.
And like, I also really like the idea of them being like, Luke, you got to get out of this funk or else you're going to end up like this very sad old guy who looks great because he's a vampire. But you don't want to be this guy.
He sucks. Have you met him? He's just sad.
He's just mopey all the time.
He's just like some tired, you know, middle management vampire. Like he's not like if you hear the name like Jonathan Harker and you're a vampire of like any sort of knowledge of the rest of the world, you're like, fuck, he's here? Oh damn. Like
I feel like we also need to have like a What We Do in the Shadows comedy vampire who just like keeps doing these moments of like, I'm gonna go do a vampire crime, and then here's like the kids talking about like, Jonathan Harker said he was gonna meet us here. Where is he? And the guy's just like, nope, and then
Harker,
walks back away.
I do also like that because I mean, we're gonna have to kill a lot of vampires this one, right?
So, yeah, so
but
many.
I like the idea of the what was his name, Lefty in the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie, the Paul Reubens character who like he got his arm cut off, he got stabbed, and he took him literally 4 minutes to die, and he didn't even really die. Like, I do really like the idea of just a comedy vampire who keeps trying to do something, but is like, has too much self-preservation to do that. Is like, fuck it, I'll go bite a cow on a farm, I don't care. Like,
I
like that. I like Jonathan Harker doing it. There's also the thing that we can sort of play with in the like, because Jonathan Harker is Mina Harker's husband in the original, but since we've moved everything around, that like they are literal generations apart. I do like the idea of just of not like doing anything with that, but just like Mina being like, I don't know, he's kind of handsome. And Abril being like, he is 240. Like, you're still in high school. And her be like, yeah, that is pretty gross, huh?
Yeah, just like shrug and be like, I don't know, I bet it works all the time. As kind of still like a wink and nod to like Buffy and Twilight and all that shit.
Yeah. Or we just straight up do the Twilight thing of like, how old are you? And he's like, technically this old. And she's like, how long have you been that? And he's like, a very long time. And she's like, that's kind of gross.
Yeah, that's kind of gross, actually.
just her looking at him go, no.
Or we do both. And then him also going like, yeah, you're a baby. Like, you're like a little child to me.
Look, here, I'll turn you, and then in a century we can talk. Like,
I also don't think he likes turning people because he's sad and doesn't want anyone to have the same fate as
he
him.
He thinks it's a curse.
It's a curse.
I like that. I like that a lot. So,
if the second act of this movie, because we just need to keep to a three act on this one. It's simple.
It's a movie. Yeah.
Yeah. The second act of this is just a murder fest, right?
It is got
100%.
To be. Because like the thing with sequels, like the trick with sequels is you always have to escalate, right?
Yeah.
Which is why Pitch Perfect 3 is such a terrible sequel because it doesn't escalate from world championships.
It escalates wrong.
It escalates very sideways and very wrong. And it's there's a good Pitch Perfect movie in there, but it's not the one they filmed. So like the first one, like act two is like, we're dealing with the three brides, right? Three vampires gave us enough trouble. We had to do all sorts of shit to kill them. And it was hard.
Well, I mean, at some point we revealed that April just like went a little crazy with it, right? And like, you go down to her basement that had previously just been washer, dryer, furnace, boxes, and now it is armory.
Yeah, and they're like, what are you, like, when did you do all this? And she's like, so I've been reading my grandpa's notes, and there's a lot more in there than what we thought, and I just want to be ready.
Have y'all seen the new Hawkeye show?
Mm-hmm. I haven't watched it yet. I'm probably gonna watch it tonight.
This is not really anything, but it shows like Kate Bishop's apartment, and like part of it is just like normal teenage girl, and then the other part of it is a full-blown archery range in a New York apartment, and I kind of can see that sort of thing. Like, you have that mixture of the mundane of her being a student getting ready to go off to college with, here is my sword made out of complete silver that has been blessed by a priest, like, that kind of thing.
Do you know how hard it is to get a silver sword that has been enforced with iridium, because silver is too soft to stab through anyone? No, April, I don't know how hard that is.
Very hard. I had to go track down, if we wanted to do a cheeky Ghostbusters reference, I had to go track down some weird company started by an old dude who was an architect who did bad surgeries. It was a lot.
Is that the seal of the Pope? Well, it's really a cardinal, but you know.
apparently the church owed Van Helsing some favors, and I got to call him in. So
I don't want to go too far with it because I feel like there is a part where it is unrealistic, but I do a couple of things we can do where they're like, how? And she's like, so in my grandpa's notes, he said that he saved this person. So like, I just called in a bunch of favors from this old book. But also in the first one, we also set up that like she killed somebody. She ate a bunch of garlic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then to trick one of the brides and kissed her. And then while she was recoiling from all the garlic, she got stabbed with a silver knife, and then April just wiped the knife off at like her brother's wedding reception. Yeah. I feel like we did.
Yeah.
And then just put it back.
And didn't say anything. Yeah.
And I kind of want to, I don't want to be like everyone who used that knife became a vampire, but like.
But we got some vampires out of that.
They used the knife to cut the cake. And now everyone who is that is like more susceptible to thralling or something, you know, like something like that. And then we can just have April be like, fuck. Like, I thought I was so clever.
I did a goof.
I like that. Is there an organization, because talking about the Pope, is there an organization that knows that vampires are real but have kept it a secret all this time?
I don't know that we need that in this one.
I really like the idea of like maybe getting help from some source like that, but I want April and Mina and Luke to be like the only vampire hunters, just because like nobody else. Number one, Dracula's been keeping them all on a leash, so they've been, you know, they've been really quiet for a very long time.
That's kind of what I mean, is that like I could see, and I am assuming it is a faith-based organization simply because a lot of, you know,
that's
Dracula
how it
mythos
tends to go.
It tends to go. But maybe they reached a truce. And this was hundreds of years ago. There's this truce between Dracula and whatever faith organization that said, okay, you hypnotize the other vampires, and we are going to just wipe your existence from the face of the earth. No one's ever going to know you were here. No one's ever going to know that anything happened. And as long as you keep this promise, we're good. And it's been hundreds of years, so that has become lore. Like, it's not something that anybody maybe even really believes anymore, but it is a doctrine still on the books. That
There's probably, like, a small little, like, convent or something that still occasionally gets calls to go clean up a mess. But it's real small now. Like, just a few people.
And they're mostly just, like, old ladies. Like, they're not fighters.
Fuck, I love that.
They're not fighters. They just are, like, old grandmas that go around being like, hey, remember, we had the thing,
naughty,
okay?
Naughty, naughty.
Naughty, naughty. Slap your wrist. Bye. And then that's it.
I really like that idea because, like, we can play it, like a couple different ways of, like, if we do show a flashback, it's, like, Dracula and some like nuns, some like kick-ass nuns, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I you know, I had to deal with Van Helsing, or maybe Van Helsing is like, hey, I like whatever we end up saying what happened between them, because whatever it did stopped vampires enough that it didn't become a thing.
Yeah.
But people have been bitten and like turned over the years, and I assume that's more of like a like sort of a I don't know what I'm trying to say. Like a accident more than anything. Like,
yeah.
Like, oops, I turned them into a vampire. I'm just not going to tell anybody. I'm going to keep them on a leash. All the vampires that are already out there can still turn people, but like, I'm sending out a lot of psychic waves, losing a lot of energy to do that. But like, the nuns are like, look, we don't want to deal with vampires. You don't want to deal with people hunting vampires, because it would become sport if we did. So how about we just both agree that you be cool
and we'll be cool.
And then just after a long enough time, it's just like the only ones left are this small order of nuns who are like, we don't have the internet, so we can't really check on anyone. So we just hope he's still doing that. And then Dracula is like killed and it's a whole fucking mess.
And they have like a relic or something that triggers when Dracula dies, or is incapacitated, or they have some not even a MacGuffin, but they have some sort of notice.
I think maybe they should just see something on the news.
Yeah, I think like, they're just very out of touch.
Yeah.
God, I'm just imagining three little old nuns that, like, make doilies and are crocheting, yeah, and they see something on the news, and they look at each other, and they're like, oh, that was real?
Oh, no.
Oh, no!
Because, like, having this group that, like, has been out there, but it's just, like, they haven't had to do anything, and they have, like, completely withered away, is very funny, and it also lets us keep it that, like, shit, we came to the only town with vampire hunters. Mm-hmm. That might go bad for us, like, as vampires.
Yeah.
But back to like, the Act 2 murder fest, it's gotta be, like, bananas, but in a way that we can still top, right?
Right.
And since we did a lot of, like, cool, like, gadgets and stuff, like, I think we did the, like, they had a priest bless the school's water system, so when they started sprinkling inside, it melted them. And they had like
the shadow of the cross,
of the cross spin thing, which is very cool. I think there should be a couple things like that still set up that we can do like cool action set pieces with. But like, the vampires are obviously much weaker this time around, not only because like we need to kill more of them at a time, but also because of generation loss. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that like it was really hard to kill four vampires in the first one, and now they're killing them fucking left and right. Because, like,
they're better prepared.
This guy was made in 1984. Like, that's, you know, that's not very long.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do we, how do we end this? Because I feel like we need to do something with Luke.
Does it end with another truce?
I don't think so. Because I think we're setting up an apocalypse now, right?
I think we are preventing an apocalypse in this, right? Because one of the groups has to be, like, super doomsday, like, vampires who are like, we're gonna get Dracula and then we're gonna fucking turn everyone in the planet.
We talked about the angel vampire. I kind of want there to be a spike vampire or group of vampires, probably, that, hey, if we kill everybody, we don't have anything to eat.
Yeah,
like, we can't do that. So maybe, like, there is a group of vampires that wants,
this is like
to,
the Lost Boys, yeah, set, right, of vampires
that,
yeah,
wants to work with April and them to stop this doomsday cult because they still need to eat. And then once the doomsday cult is dealt with, they leave on kind of frosty terms of, you don't fuck around and you won't have to find out what we do.
So basically, like, at the end of this movie, we're not going back to the truce, but we're going back to a, we're not going to mess with you.
Armistice.
Yeah. Like, real tense.
I kind of want to do the opposite.
Okay.
And at the end of the movie, it's April and Luke and Mina and maybe Jonathan, who is like, you know, a mentor figure at point. I don't want it to be like a, hey, we won't mess with you if you don't mess with us. But hey, I'm really good at killing vampires now. Do you want to keep doing vampire shit while I'm around? Like, and sort of like the threat of this like group is kind of like what gets them to peel off. Because I do want to end the movie finding some sort of, if not cure, then like, because like the idea of treating vampirism as sort of like a chronic illness, I think is kind of appealing. And that, like,
maybe that's something the nuns have, like, in their records.
Maybe, because if you have any sort of chronic illness, like, you don't get better.
No.
Some days are better.
You manage it.
You know, like, if there's some sort of, there's management you can do. But, and I feel like ending it with that, like, with Luke, like, it's sort of that way, I think would be, like, kind of nice to be, you know, to be like, hey, sometimes you gotta go through this stuff. And, like, you know, you get stronger and you deal with it. So, like, I kind of want to do something with that. And then also, I feel like Dracula should come back, right? Like, I feel like Dracula should come back. And
Dracula's
then, like,
the stinger, right?
So I kind of want Dracula to pull a Lestat. So when Lestat comes back after he's murdered...
Well, he's not public domain, Alan, so be very careful.
So Claudia murders Lestat by slitting his throat, and, like, all the blood runs out of him. And then they dump him in a swamp. when he comes out of the swamp, he's just a desiccated corpse. Like, he is just hollowed husk that just eats everything. I kind of like the idea that because they did all of it, but badly, what comes out is not Dracula. It is the husk that was Dracula and can be Dracula again once it, like, gets its power back. But what this thing is just a mindless monster that needs to feed.
I like that for a stinger. I feel like the climax of the movie should be, like, them fighting, like, it's whatever groups are on the, we don't want Dracula back, we don't want anyone getting Dracula power. So, like, the punk vampires, Jonathan, our main characters,
crew. Yeah,
versus, like, the rest of the vampires, and then one comedy vampire just being like, I'm not gonna go in there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even have a team. I'm not going in there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even the comedy vampire, like, sees a moment to, like, help out the other, like, the good guy's side and does that. And, like, they just literally never know about him.
Yeah. He's a non-character.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. then we can have him, you know, come back in the third one and be like, oh, I helped you out in the fight. And, like, we don't remember you. And he's like, yeah, that's actually my plan. So
it worked out. Good job.
But there, I feel like, you know, because Act 2 is, like, you know, dwindling the numbers as much as they can, right?
Right.
Act 3, like, the climax is them fighting around, you know, at the crossroads where Dracula is mm-hmm. buried. And, like, the other problem is, like, now two of the people on their team are vampires. So, like, they have to be careful about, like, what they do. But also, like, they're very powerful because they are, like, direct descendants of Dracula vampires. So, like, they're a little bit easier to...
Question. So one of my favorite vampiric tricks, and I'm not sure if this comes from Dracula or something else, is that vampires can sometimes draw blood to them. Like, if blood is spilled, it can move.
I know what you're talking about.
It's blood kinesis. It's like pulling and moving blood.
What is that from?
It's from Underworld.
Actually, I was thinking Trinity Blood, which is an anime, Underworld.
On the upside, if it's in two different things that are not connected, it's true. Fair game as far as I'm concerned. So
I like the idea that they're fighting at the crossroads. Blood is being spilled, and that blood isn't staying put. It's not it falls, and maybe the characters don't notice, but it starts pooling in unnatural ways and moving in a way that it shouldn't.
I mean, this is going to be the stinger, right? Is we cut back to the crossroads where the pools of blood are seeping into the ground, going down Dracula and being drawn to Dracula, out. And then Dracula comes out.
Okay, right. I think a whole stinger just fully formed itself in my head. I'm just going to put a little pin in it for a minute.
Okay.
At this fight, and I like the blood kinesis.
Hemokinesis,
that's it, yes. Okay, I like that idea a lot because I think we can set up in two different movies, in the first one and, like, reinforce it in this one, that vampires cannot feed on vampires, except Dracula.
Right.
Right.
Because he's always the exception.
Or his direct descendants.
Mm.
So, like, there can be a scene of, like, a shot of Jonathan, like, going kind of feral. And I like the idea, like, the Buffy idea of, like, the older a vampire is, the more powerful he is, the, like, more monstrous they can either turn or are. And I like the idea of, like, you know, in Van Helsing, the movie, the 2004 cinematic classic Van Helsing, when Dracula turned into, like, a bat werewolf, like a were-Batman.
Yeah.
I feel like if Jonathan just pulls that out at some point and, like, just fucking slurp, like, shotguns a vampire, just, like real quick, and that, like, powers him up at some point. And then, but then, because then the blood's all, like, kind of, you know, doing stuff, and we cut back to the stinger at the end, all the blood seeps into the ground in, like, a very, like, come to me, my blood way. Dracula bursts out of the thing as, like, a deer is running by, and, like, it stops, and then that's when we see the blood go in. Dracula bursts out, jumps the deer, and, like, eviscerates it, and we show, like, oh no, feral Dracula. And that's the setup for movie 3. So
there is a word for it, and I did a Google to see if it is just in Trinity Blood or not. The word is Krusnik, Krusnik, is the vampire that feeds on the blood of other vampires. So I've even if it's not the word Krusnik, I like giving that a title.
Right.
Whether that title is Dracula, which it could be, because the guy's name was Vlad. Like, yeah, it is Vlad the Impaler. The title is Dracula.
Well, his last name is Dragulia.
Dracul, yeah.
Which Dracul. It means son of the dragon. And then eventually that anamorphs into Dracula by the time you get to it.
So I kind of like, I love that mythos of, because you often see, you know, vampires are the top of the food chain because they're above people. Well, what's above them?
Right.
Something has to prey on them, and the answer is Dracula's or Krusnik or whatever you want to call it. So I like the idea that these elder vampires, or not even elder, but like once removed from the source, can feed on the blood of other vampires and absorb their life energy.
This is sort of stealing a trick from Shannon Maynard's webcomic Dragon Sanctuary,
which you should all read because it's wonderful.
DragonSanctuaryComic.com. So she has these things called the Pacoya, which are this, like, they are basically like homunculuses that were built to be able to kill another like race who are basically unkillable except for by these. And so they're super powerful. They can like eat it. And one of them went around killing the rest of them because he like woke up one day and was like, oh shit, this is bad. We're doing evil. And then just started killing off all of his siblings that are doing these evil things. What if that's Harker? What if Harker's like, I've killed every single second generation Dracula that I've come. I've been 100. That's what I've been doing for 200 years. So that's why none of the other vampires can do that, because there are no elder vampires. That's what Harker has been taking care of. And now he gets to Luke and he's like, oh, but we're like, you're kind of like me. You're not like, you don't love being a vampire. Like everyone else loved it. So like, maybe I can teach you how to use, you know, something like that. But I do like, I don't think we need to like give it like a sort of like classification, but just like
it's what a Dracula can do.
This is a thing a Dracula can do. Yeah.
This sounds like a movie.
I think, yeah, it sounds like we got a movie. It.
What's the only, title?
Hold on. Well, I have one thing that
Dead and
I don't
it. Dead and hating I don't, it.
Too Drac in the Habit. Is
Drac in the Habit.
No, it's got to be Latin. I'll figure it out. So we had like the cool like set piece like vampire killing action moments, right, with like the cross, the uh-huh. Shadow of the Cross thing, and the holy water sprinklers. The only thing I can think to top that is at the crossroads, you have a cross, right, but it's not the same way a cross is a cross.
Mm-hmm.
So what if some of the punk vampires, or Luke and Jonathan, they basically drop jersey barriers to block the road so that the crossroads is the shape of a cross, and all the vampires that are on it are now standing on a big cross.
I love that.
That's pretty great. It's
they
dumb.
They just go up in flames.
It's dumb. Wait, so movie three, I have the ultimate one. I have the literal, like how they kill Dracula for real. I have the ultimate, like, using the mythology to our advantage piece, and it's very stupid.
So we called the last one Dracula Knox. Do we call this one Dracula Lux?
I would say Drac in Habitum.
That's no.
That's just Dracula 2 back in the habit.
No, that's Drac in the Habit in Latin. Drac in Habitum.
No. appreciate the work for the joke.
How dare you?
I don't think we should do Lux.
No.
Well, I mean, what Lux is, could work on, because, on, like, Christmas on. Tree lighting, right? Like,
Lux is just light.
Purity.
Yeah.
Purity? Pueri. Child.
I think any, like, the problem with Latin is that some words don't sound cool.
Offspring is just fetus. Fetus.
Dracula fetus. That's a different set of movies that I don't want to do.
We're getting dinged on the rating for the name alone.
Yeah. Dracula.
Progeny? Progeny is pretty much a Latin word.
What about, look up gather or gathering.
Collectio. Or?
Are there other versions
Colligentes.
Of that?
Colligentes?
It's too long. I like Knox because it's punchy and short.
Congrego? which is assemble, join, gather, yeah, collect in a flock, congregate.
Matt, you seem like you're Googling something too.
Yeah, I'm looking on something. Give me a second.
Okay. I feel like the name should be shorter because it's punchier, right? I like syllabically. Nati? What's that?
Nati, born.
That might be a good one for three.
N-A-T-I.
And it sounds like naughty.
Naughty.
Maybe save that for the third one. If the third one is like,
oh, like, oh, here we go.
Dracula Tokyo Drift.
We can have just a whole. So we go Nox for the first one. The third one we can do Lux. The middle one we do Umbra.
Dracula Umbra. Shade, is that like dust?
Shadow, twilight. Darkness, twilight. Dark, twilight. So it goes Nox, Umbra, Lux.
Okay, I like it.
We can all look. These are placeholders until someone buys this idea from us for $5 million.
We had to figure until we had to file copyrights. I think Dracula Umbra works. I do like Nati, but I do think that should be the third one.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Wait, what's war? Bellum.
Dracula Bellum?
Yeah, Bellum.
It's the other side of Parabellum.
Yeah, which means prepare for war.
Yeah.
I kind of like Bellum, too. What do y'all think between the two? Between Umbra and...
I like Umbra because it gives a consistency in the naming, and it kind of sets up expectations for three. Bellum, I feel, is more literal. It is more directly speaking to what is in the film.
Okay, here's why I like Bellum as opposed to Umbra. And I also like Dracula Lux now that I've thought about it, because like the tree lighting ceremony, Christmas tree, Christmas lights, etc. But Bellum has bell in it, like jingle bells, and it's Christmas.
I'm okay with that, yeah.
Right? Like, because the thing about Nox is like Dracula Nox as in like on the door, and also Dracula Nox as in night. And so like there's sort of that. Dracula Bellum gives us that sort of same play that we can do, and then we can figure out whatever the third one is and how to get a Latin pun out of it.
Yeah.
When we get there.
I'm down with that.
But I think we did it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we crushed it.
All right. So, dang, we did a twofer today, and that's going to just drain me creatively for the
rest
of the day.
My throat is a little sore.
Yep. So next time we're back on our season of ongoings with our superhero show, The Conclave. So,
are we still doing that, Alan? Is that what we're...
Okay. At least one more time.
Okay.
At least once more. So join us for that. That means you're probably getting several episodes in December. Don't worry about it. It's fine. We're getting back on track slowly.
If you want, I can edit this one.
Oh, bless you, my child.
And so you do the one before and after, and we can get three out this month.
Yeah.
And then that'll be back on track.
Yes.
We just got to figure out time to record that other one. That's a future problem.
That's off camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been Matt.
I've been Jake.
And I've been Alan. And you've been rebooted.
You can find us on Twitter at RebootCast or email us hardreboot@fifthdraw.com. Alan Sells can be found at Alan_Sells on Twitter, Matt Hoadley can be found at Matt Hoadley, and Jake Mason can be found at JJ_Mason.
Hard Reboot is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. For more information, please visit creativecommons.org.